Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts.
Hello, kiddies. This is your Ghoulie, the Crypt Keeper, and you're listening to Slasher Radio.
Welcome to Slasher Radio. Your host, Mikey Bones, Catch Belore, and Rob Humphrey. What's happening, guys?
What's up, you butt nugget?
Here we are with the butt nugget.
Oi!
Oh, we got an oil.
No, noise.
Got my mouth.
It's Mikey's birthday.
We're trying to get my friend Tim to come on the show. He's from Australia. You can't be racist, Cat.
Oi, Tim.
Oi. Ahoy, oi, Tim. Yes. Tim will appreciate it, man. He's Australian. It'll make him feel comfortable and welcome here on all the boys.
You don't want him to feel too comfortable. He's going to come on here and start calling everybody a
I was just going to say, maybe we should start saying that. But now you got the bleep and not me. So money right there. But now I have to open up the stupid sheet. Where the hell did it go? Oh, there it is. All right. The bleep sheet is opened and Rob is now up to 32. Congratulations, Rob. 32 bleeps for this year alone. This doesn't carry over from last year, just this year. We're a little over halfway through. How do you feel?
I feel like you've made some bleeps up.
I feel like I missed a few. All right. This week is my birthday pick. By the time this episode comes out, my birthday would have passed. So if you did not tell me happy birthday, then fuck you.
And where are my balls?
But yeah, this is my birthday pick. Birthday picks on this show. All three of us get one. And it is unvetoable. It cannot be passed. It cannot. It's just, it is what it is. We have to watch it. And that power can be used for good. And that power could be used for evil. Judging by the title of this episode, I'll let you come up with which way I went on your own. But we are talking about The Ring. 2002, right?
2002?
I don't fucking know. I didn't watch it.
Okay, yeah, hold on now. See, Rob, you hold on. You have been busting balls saying you're not going to watch this movie. You said that to me on Discord and everything else.
I didn't need to watch it. I saw it 7 or 8 years ago. I remember everything fine.
No, I didn't need to watch it because I watched it about a month ago. You have not seen it in years and had to watch it. You also busted my balls when Allie was trying to get me to rewatch it everywhere. Oh, you got to watch The Ring. Got to watch The Ring, Mike. You got to watch The Ring. And when I announced my movie pick on Twitter, I ended it with P.S. Rob, you got to watch The Ring.
Yeah, but you do have to rewatch it. I didn't have to. My mind is like a steel trap. Once stuff gets in there, it doesn't get out, Mikey. You're forgetful.
Have you seen The Fourth Kind, Rob?
I have seen either The Fourth Kind or another movie that's similar to The Fourth Kind, but not The Fourth Kind.
All right, there it is.
Folks. I don't know. I don't know which one. So, yeah, The Ring. And then...
You watched it, though, right?
Yes, I watched it.
Thank God.
I watched it earlier today.
We're going to come across this one day, Kat, where he's just not going to watch the movie for real.
It's going to happen.
One day.
Now, last week, we talked about the movie No Way Up.
Yes.
And part of the movie was they were working on the theory that sharks are scared of bubbles. And so I sent messages to 8 of the foremost shark experts in the world that I could find on the internet. And I actually did hear back from a few of them.
Oh, get okay.
Yeah, I got some response. A Dr. Melissa Christina Marquez, who is the founder of the Fins United Initiative, who works to provide scientifically accurate and open access materials for educators worldwide, which includes bilingual resources. She did respond, and when I asked, are sharks afraid of bubbles? She said, some kind of are. When diving with hammerheads off Ecuador, they spooked anytime they saw or heard bubbles.
Okay. Hmm.
So there's that. Now, the sharks in that movie were not hammerheads.
No, they were true. Not.
But she said, yeah, possible. Now, this next guy I really like. This is Dr. Yanis, and I'm going to screw his fuck out of his last name, and I apologize. Dr. Yanis Papastamatio. I don't know. That's a hard name to say. He is an associate professor of biological studies in the Institute of Environment at Florida International University. And his reply to me was, "Hi, Rob, not a stupid question."
Liar.
Which I look, that's very kind of you, but I'm aware that it's a stupid question.
Bullshit.
He says, "I have heard of reports of divers repelling sharks with bursts of bubbles. I certainly wouldn't say it's a given that they will leave, but it's plausible if it's a big enough burst."
Okay.
So, all right. Right. It seems like maybe there's something to it.
Okay.
And then we also heard back from Dr. Jillian Morris Brake, who is the founder and president of Sharks for Kids. And she also says, not a stupid question at all, but these people are too nice.
Shark experts are really nice is what apparently. I'm learning from this. That's my whole takeaway.
She says that some sharks are certainly cautious of bubbles, but it can also be associated with the noise that scuba makes when someone exhales, which creates the bubbles. So she doesn't know. They don't know, apparently, if it's actually that they're afraid of the bubbles or that weird noise that scuba divers make, you know?
Okay.
It could be either one. So what I'm taking away from all this is, first of all, not a stupid question. It's actually quite brilliant, and I should become a shark scientist because I ask the important questions.
Yes.
but also, it seems to be not completely implausible for the movie to posit that the sharks would be afraid of bubbles, but also... there is no clear, hard evidence.
Okay.
Yeah, it seems like across the board is the sound. See, I don't remember what movie it was. I don't remember if it was Deep Blue Sea or what it was. But I've seen, like, bubbles used as a distraction to sharks, like, where, oh, they'll see that and they'll go for it. Because, right. You know, it's something moving or whatever.
See, so that's what I thought it was.
Right. But then it doesn't support... you know, them being afraid of it and running away from it, which is why I was confused. But yeah, that's makes sense. The sound, because I don't see why they'd be afraid of bubbles. Like if a human is splashing in the water, especially, or like another fish, maybe if it's flopping around or something and creating any type of bubbles or movement and waves and everything, I'd imagine they would attract them. But yeah, the sound would, you know, run them away. It makes more sense.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway. Sort of inconclusive, but not out of the realm of possibility, I guess.
Nice.
Okay. Good to know. Nice follow-up, Rob.
Yeah, yep.
Did you send any of them dick pics? You said the whoever responds gets a dick pic.
Just Yanis Papastamano. No, I did not. I did not. These people were way too kind for that.
All right. Fair enough.
I do wish I could say that one guy's last name, though. I do feel bad about that, too.
Yeah, look at that. All right. Shout out to bsource.com. I feel like I'm required. They got a little mad at us when you were making fun of them, remember?
I don't remember making fun of them.
You weren't, but they thought you were.
I mean, look, making fun of them does sound like something I would do. I'm not saying that I didn't do it. I'm just saying I don't remember doing it.
True. True. All right. So we have a listener text message that came in, so that will be read by Ghostface shortly. We do have drink roll call, which I am very excited about. And then we're getting into The Ring, which I did not have to watch because I watched it recently, but these two did. So,
and I didn't have to either because I watched it 8 years ago.
I read the book. I assume that's the same.
Yeah, that's fine.
I wouldn't know. You'd probably be able to get away with it. I have no idea. All right, let's get into drink roll call first. What are you guys drinking? I'm super excited about this.
So earlier tonight, I was in Greg's live and I joined them via Zoom.
Oh Lord.
And Amber asked me to do a shot with her. So we did shots of whiskey. And so I thought, well, I might as well just keep that whiskey train going. And so, the bottle was close to being empty anyway. So I just dumped the rest of it in a glass and threw some ice in there. So I've been drinking whiskey on the rocks. It is mostly now melted ice at this point with some whiskey in there, but still the same.
All right. Kat, what about you?
I am really excited. I found mango margarita in a can.
See, I'm excited about the margarita in a can, Kat. But yeah. You guys know my turmoil with mango, the mango vape that I had. So yeah. A little bit of PTSD going on here. And I seen the mango in a can, cut water, and I was like, oh, no.
So I like mango margaritas, I think, more than I like just normal margaritas. So I was really excited to try this. I actually went to see if I could find something like special and fun for this episode. And that was not what I had in mind, but it was too fun not to pick up. So here we are.
How is it?
I like it. I do think okay. I like it more than regular margarita in a can. But it is very mango forward, which I think is going to make it real dangerous because I'm going to finish this first can. I'm going to think about opening a second can and I'm going to be like, it's just a fun mango drink.
Yeah.
Forgetting that it has the same alcohol content as a normal margarita in a can.
Mm-hmm. You forget they don't fuck around.
Fuck around at Cutwater.
All right. Well, speaking of not fucking around, I made my own drink.
Oh.
And these images are going to get tweeted. Usually they go up on Patreon. I'm not going to be able to help myself. I made a homemade mudslide.
Yeah, you did.
Look at that bad boy. Rob, come on now.
With the straw and everything.
Look at that straw.
Yeah, that straw is something else, man. Would you have to buy that at like a specialty store or something?
Amazon, I have 99 more of those straws, different colors and everything. So yeah, drink Roll Call Graveyard is real.
Yeah, I need to get some straws actually from Amazon because I've been making a lot of milkshakes in my loud ass blender. And yeah. I found that it's much easier to drink those with a straw. But all right. You know what?
Drink.
I would listen, it's your birthday. You're mm-hmm. at home. You can drink this if you want, I suppose. Okay. Plus I made a white Russian milkshake a few weeks ago for the show. So I can't give you too much hell about it. Of course, I didn't have sprinkles and fucking whipped cream on mine.
Yeah,
this is a really cartoon-ass looking milkshake, you guys.
Yeah, it is. But look at that chocolate. I mean, you did a good job with this, Mikey. The way you got the chocolate layered mm-hmm. in there.
Yeah, I say cartoon, both like as a descriptor, but it's a huge compliment. Like it seriously, if you pictured a mudslide, if you asked a cartoonist to draw you a mudslide.
If you went to AI. And so,
yeah, the straw, the whipped cream.
I see the cherry in there. You put a cherry on there, too.
A little sunken. Yes. Yeah. But still, it's there.
That's why I'm not crazy about cherries anyway. I would have left that out. But I know that people like them. So, yeah, I mean, that's a good looking drink. I'm not mad at it, Mikey.
Yes, I did layer the chocolate syrup on the inside of the cup. Also, the ingredients of this mudslide is hot fudge chocolate syrup, milk, obviously. And I also threw in there. Haagen-Dazs chocolate ice cream.
Yes, 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 yes.
Coffee chocolate chip gelato and a Hershey bar and a fuck ton of vodka. This thing does not play.
Yeah.
I mean, I took two sips of it and went, God damn, I was feeling it. And yeah, I did top it with whipped cream, chocolate sprinkles, cherry. And I also bought, like I said, an extra wide red and white striped straw. Because, I just thought it was perfect. And I have 99 of them now. But this thing, man, good Lord. I don't know if this is a good idea. I don't remember if I told the story of the last time I drank a mudslide in my early 20s. It did not end well. But here we are again, giving it a go in my 30s. Okay, we'll see how it goes.
All right, man. Now, it's a good looking drink. You did a good job with that.
Yeah, gorgeous.
Yeah, this is like a $40 drink, though. I'm not gonna lie. That's a lot of shit I had to get.
Yeah, that's the thing. Making your own drinks at home can get expensive sometimes when you go all out like that.
It's cheaper in the long run, but it is a huge upfront cost.
Yeah, big upfront investment. Yeah.
Yeah, this is what we do for you people.
I ran out of the transfusion ingredients, and as you know, Mikey, and I don't have a fucking car right now. So
yeah,
I kind of was trapped with whatever I had in the house, too. So the whiskey seem to make the most sense.
I don't think I've ever run out of cocktail ingredients so fast as the transfusion. Yeah. I had that one on the show last week, and then I had a bunch more the next day, and then suddenly I was out of everything. They're good. And they're refreshing is the mm-hmm. thing. Cause like there are a lot of alcoholic drinks that I have a fun time drinking, but like when it gets real hot in my office now, it's like, I need a transfusion. Like,
yeah, they're good. But yeah. All right. Good drink roll call, Mikey. I think yeah.
so
I think,
excited about this.
I think Mikey won the drink roll call today. Yeah, for sure.
Also don't remember if I mentioned it. There's a Hershey bar in this sumbitch too. I threw that in the blender. Yeah. Extra chocolate all over the place.
That's a lot of chocolate.
A lot of chocolate and a lot of vodka. And I taste all chocolate and no vodka.
Oh, that's Mikey's going to get gone.
Bro, I stopped. Oh, no. I made these two. I made them wait because I made French fries like before we started recording because I remembered I didn't drink. I didn't eat dinner. And after a couple of sips of this thing, I was like, something's got to give and I need something in my stomach or it's going to be a bad time for everybody. And there's going to be a tweet sent out saying no show this week.
Double check we're recording.
Dude, this is a big ass glass, too. And I still have a little more in the fridge. So,
yeah,
I might be a good time on Discord tomorrow. Who knows? Yeah. Anyway, so what else? Oh, God. The voicemail. I'm going to have to remember this phone number. 917-397-KILL. That's 917-397-5455. I did it.
Trace the call. It's coming from inside the house.
If you want to send in a voicemail or a text message for the show, we will air the voicemail. Ghostface will read the text message as you are about to hear now, and we will discuss. This text message, as I look for the... Okay. This text message is from Tasha.
Mikey, I hear you, and I'm sorry. You're right. I always slam you and Rob and then end on a super nice note to Kat, so I'm changing that this week. Kat, I love you, and you're the best. I'm honored to be the editor for your genius creative works.
What?
Now, Mikey and Rob, we'll end with getting you instead. Mikey, you're right again. The internet really is full of negativity and trolls, and we need more positivity. The world is a scary enough place as it is without hateful people making it worse. Therefore, I'm positive that the OG Black Christmas is a Canadian film.
Damn it.
Rob, it's good to hear I'm keeping you on your toes. Am I nice? Am I not nice? The world may never know. In the meantime, keep your dick out the aquarium. Peace out, bitches and cat.
Okay.
Thank you, Tasha.
Rob. Are we able to issue bans for like a 1 week ban for the text messages or voicemails or something?
I don't think so.
No.
I mean, look, Tasha's
it's good advice. She's just lifting people up.
She's out of hand, is what she is. But you know, what are you going to do? And it's hurtful because I supported her when she was part of the live stream earlier tonight, and I was very nice in there. I didn't call her a potato thief once.
Why?
So you know. But look, I'm choosing to take the high road because that's what I do.
I don't do that so much here. But yeah, Tasha's referring to, I don't remember which week it was, but Tasha had sent in a text message and Rob and I were pretty pissed off that every time Tasha sends in a text message, she dings me and Rob and then she's nice to Kat on the way out. So instead, she was nice to Kat on the way in and then ding me and Rob. But then was nice again to Kat on the way out, though, Tasha. So you still kind of, you know. But God damn it. I knew Black Christmas was a Canadian film. I was well aware. So poo-poo. And
we used that one on Oh Canada or No Canada, didn't we?
Probably.
I think that was before Tasha was a patron, though, to be fair. But
yeah, I think so.
Well, that's a game show we should bring back sometime.
That was a good game show. Tasha would like it, I think.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Anyway, Tasha, why? What? I want Tasha one time to just give it to Kat about something. Just one time. Because it's not fair. When Tasha comes on here and says ridiculous things about Texas Chainsaw not being the best movie in its own franchise, Kat lets it go. And like this isn't fair, Rob. Right or wrong? Back me up on this
right.
One
you're right about it. Kat lets her slide a little bit, and Tasha lets Kat get away with some crazy Kat stuff, too.
Thank you, Tasha. I love you. That's because Tasha, listen, I owe Tasha because she did the editing for Puppet Shark, which was edited beautifully.
We could have got Rob to do it.
I could have edited Bubba Shark.
Yeah.
Rob, do you want to edit my next book?
I mean, I'll edit it if I don't have to read it.
Nope. That's not how that works.
I don't want to be reading books.
How the fuck do you intend? That's like me saying, yeah, I'll edit the show, but I don't want to listen to it.
I don't know. We can figure something out.
To be fair, Rob does edit our other show every week without listening to it.
Yeah.
And you're always bitching about editing the show. I'm like, dude, it takes me like 15 minutes.
Rob doesn't edit the show. Rob puts an intro and an outro on the front and back of the show.
Hey, we also have a sound clip for the bees.
There's a sound clip for the bees, and I put the trailer in the show, and we don't have an outro on that one.
Oh, yeah, that's right. True, yeah. So all you do is insert. You don't edit. That's the two very different things. But, yeah, Jesus, thank you, I guess, Tasha, for the damn text message. What the hell, man? One time, just be nice to me and Rob and give it to Kat. And it's my birthday, so I'm allowed to make that wish. I don't think it's going to happen, but come on. Tasha, do it one time for the memes. One time. And I knew you first, Tasha.
Tasha's turned Mikey into a Make-A-Wish kid.
Seriously, like I'm over here begging. Like, what the hell is on my own birthday? I shouldn't have to, Tasha. I mean, granted, she didn't know when this was going to come out. I understood the text message. She didn't know which episode it was going to be on. All right, fine. But still, you think anybody be nice to me around my damn birthday? I don't even get that. Jesus Christ.
Well, I don't think it's a rule that we have to be nice to anyone on their birthday.
Mm. Oh, I can assure you that's not a rule.
I was going to say, it doesn't feel like it's been a rule.
Unbelievable. All right. Oh, wait a minute. So I do not hit my button this week, right or wrong?
That is correct.
Yes.
As my annual birthday gift to Mikey, there is no Gabagooly mystery meme this week. However, there was mention of the Gabagooly mystery meme contributors over on the Patreon episode. So I hope you guys check that out. Sign up for the Patreon.
Yeah, it wasn't mentioned.
Well,
it was mentioned.
It was mentioned, but it wasn't just the Kat acts like it was just mentioned, glossed over, and moved on.
There was a brief mention.
Brief my ass. We did a whole bracket of Italian cheeses on the Patreon show.
We sure did. Now, where I think that we shouldn't announce the Slasher Radio approved cheese just yet for the listeners, but maybe next week we'll unveil the Slasher Radio. Let the patrons sit with this forbidden knowledge for a week before we unveil.
See, I like what Kat's doing right here. What Kat's doing is she's trying to drive people to the Patreon so they can know which cheese is Slasher Radio approved.
Yeah, and this I'll is how you do it.
If there's one thing in this world worth paying money for, it's to know which cheese we like best.
Okay, that's the kind of listener that we have. And that's the kind of listener I'm going after.
You're not wrong. Know your target audience.
So I can't imagine someone sitting at home, at work, in their car, in traffic, wherever they may be listening to the show, going, damn, man, where's my fucking debit card, dude? I got to figure out what cheese won. That's crazy. And if you do, God bless.
Also, if you sign up for the Patreon specifically to find out what kind of cheese it is, please, 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 let us know that's why you signed up, and we'll like send you some cheese or a sticker or something. I don't know. That's worthy of a reward.
They're not getting no damn sticker.
Can we send them a sticker of cheese?
Yeah. We'll send you a cheese sticker.
That's it. We got to get stickers printed up. It's like a slice of cheese with like a little Italian mustache and a hat on it.
And it says Slasher Radio approved.
Yes. Can we do that, Mikey? Is that in the budget?
No. Oh. No. Well, absolutely not. No. You're not getting a sticker. And if you want a sticker that badly, message Rob and Kat. Don't message me with a sticker, cheese sticker bullshit. All right. Well, yeah, that's nice. Again, it would be nice if I actually didn't have to deal with Gabagooly Mystery Corner crap this week. But like I said, we did a whole bracket on the town. We also did a found footage bracket after that. But so it's not like we did, you know, just like one episode of cheese. So there was some other stuff behind it. But yeah, at the end of the day, though, I did have to deal with it because we did a Gabagooly Mystery Corner whole ass segment on the Patreon show.
Sure did.
Yeah, it was good times.
All right. Quick break, and then we discuss The Ring, huh?
Yes.
Hell of a deal.
Anybody watch this thing?
I hate you.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
So, Cult FM, we're supposed to do the ring. We've been supposed to do the ring for a while. We haven't
done
the episode.
We're about 6 months at this point.
Yeah. About that. A lot of things have come up in between. We were actually supposed to record it this last Wednesday, and we actually had somebody who said that they would do the episode with us, so we pushed it back. We still haven't recorded it. So, either way, here we are doing the ring. Thought process here on my end. I honestly didn't know what to do. And there was a couple, like, I genuinely was going to just pick a movie that I wanted to watch for a while. Hell House LLC was up there. What else was I was going to put up Silent Hill because I've been really wanting to rewatch Silent Hill and, you know, with all the new stuff coming out, just wanted a refresher. But my thought would be that we should have somebody who played the Silent Hill game excessively, or, you know, at least a lot. Kat, would that be you?
That would be me.
Oh, hell of a deal. So we got to do Silent Hill soon then. Because, you know, it's a game movie, so adaptations and all those things, I feel like that's important to have a little bit of that context. And yeah. I just didn't play them enough and definitely don't remember them enough to be able to carry on that conversation properly.
I'm actually, quick side shout out to Voices from the Mausoleum, because we also have a show that's been on hiatus. We do a video game movie adaptations over there, and I'm currently replaying through Silent Hill in anticipation of our Silent Hill episode. So I'm doing a yeah. Silent Hill refresher course, because I played them a lot as a kid, which I think I'm realizing now why I am the way I am. But yeah, and they're good. I'm enjoying it again.
Yeah.
Yeah. But for the last couple of days, Mikey, you've been trying to pass the blame for this pick off to Allie.
It was her idea. Yeah. Stand by that. This all was right. Allie's idea. I was asking her if she had any thoughts or anything she could throw out there for me, because I honestly had no idea what to do. The spite train for these picks is very tempting. That's how the birthday picks usually went. And to you guys' credit, you've kind of gone off those rails a little bit and just picked genuine movies that you wanted to watch. But again, the temptation's always there.
Yeah.
For that. And it's a lot of fun if you could do it right. And I think you guys even got to admit, even though you had to watch The Ring, Kat, you're not bothered by that. But this was a power move right here.
It was.
That was the first thing I said when this was announced, is this is like a god tier power move on this show. I respect the hell out of it.
Yeah.
Even if I didn't like The Ring, I would have been very pleased by this maneuver.
I absolutely hated the movie, but I do respect the power move. Absolutely.
All right. Also, other side of the thought process, obviously, first of all, too, I don't know when the Cult FM ring episode thing is happening. Never. I have no idea.
It's never happening.
I wouldn't say never, but yeah, I don't know when it's happening. So that being said, to just kind of get that out of the way, the thought process, because that's not going to be addressed in the thought process is why I mentioned it. And I'm sure Chris and whoever else will be asking. So there it is. But Rob has been poking at me and poking at me, go watch The Ring, go to watch The Ring, go ring, 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 giving me shit for this damn movie. So now Rob had to watch The Ring. So the tables have turned. And I know that Kat enjoys The Ring. She's not getting away scot-free here, because she has to listen to me and Rob shit on The Ring. So I kind of win either way here on both ends. So it's kind of a dub.
Yeah, no, it was well played. It was very well played.
All right.
Very well played. And I'm just going to come out of the gate and say, because I hadn't seen The Ring in kind of a long time. It had been a while since my last rewatch. And both of you have told me as recently as our Ringu episode that it does not hold up. I'm doubling down, guys. It's not perfect. I have complaints that I did not remember from back when I saw it the last time. But I enjoyed it. I think it's solid PG-13 horror, and I think it's one of our best remakes as Americans. I think we kind of have to stand by this one because it's not getting much better than that. It gets a little bit better, I guess, because Suspiria exists, but not by much.
Allow me to retort.
Okay.
This movie sucks. It's real, 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 real boring. It's very, very green, and it's not a very good remake, and it's not even one of the, I mean, you said Suspiria, which is a brilliant remake, but also, yeah. Let Me In is a very good American remake.
Sure.
All right.
And this doesn't come close to those. I mean, it's not even in the same league as those two. This is a bad movie, Kat.
I don't think it is.
I think you're wrong.
This is a bad movie, Kat.
All right. Well, I mean, you're both entitled to think that. But I don't think that it is. And I think a lot of the problems that I have with the story are problems that happened from the original, like, book to Japanese movie conversion and not the Japanese to American conversion. Like, usually we find foreign films and we screw them up. And I think this one was already not as good as the source material. And then we kind of made the most of it. I don't hate the decisions here. I think they're fine.
I will give you that. Ringu is also a very bad movie.
That's not what I said, but yes, I'll take the point there.
And so in that respect, they remade a bad movie with a bad movie. I won't argue that point. And I know that Ringu's a bad movie because as I sat down and was watching The Ring today, I was trying to compare it to Ringu, and I realized I don't remember a fucking thing about Ringu, and we just watched that. I mean, it was not that long ago.
Yeah, it was pretty recent.
But that movie is just super forgettable.
Thanks, Chris.
Like, I don't know what I scored that movie, but chances are it was too high.
Damn.
I think you were being kind of mean to Ringu when you scored it.
Was I?
You're being a little
mean. I seem to remember that.
We'll circle back to that when we do Portnoy's for this. Remind me.
I don't remember what I scored it, but as I was watching this one, I couldn't remember a single thing about the Japanese one. And I was like, that's a bad movie.
One thing that I really like, and I want to get this out of the gate early just because it's the only thing I didn't put in my notes. For the most part, all of my notes are notes that I had specifically about the American version of Ring while I was watching Ring. The one thing that I didn't write down that I feel really passionately about is that in the book, all of the like images of the videotape made sense. And then in the Japanese movie, they went for more of like a generic Japanese spooky aesthetic for the movie. I like that the American one does a very artful thing where they kind of explore some of the images on the tape. And I think our tape looks really spooky. I think we did a good job with that. It's a spooky looking tape. Big fan.
I mean, the tape is creepy. They did a good job with it. Yeah.
It's creepy and plot relevant, and I like it.
Yeah. But I don't want to blow up too many good things about this movie all at one shot because I don't have that many.
Okay. Well, that's my one like thing that I didn't write down. So okay. Now that I know that mango margarita in a can is not going to make me forget that.
It's just, this movie is, first of all, there's things that happen that I'm not sure make sense. Like everybody's getting a nosebleed for some reason. Naomi Watts is pulling a big long strand of hair out of her mouth for whatever fucking reason. There's a horse. Like what the fuck is going on? You know?
So the horses can sense the curse, which makes them freak out. It's why all of the horses on the island committed suicide. And it's why Naomi Watts gets attacked by the horse. And as for the nosebleed, I think that might actually be, I could be wrong. I think what's going on there is because the images that she's seeing, like the visions, are being burned into her brain. I think that's like a side effect of her receiving the images.
But it happens to her boyfriend or husband or whatever dude too. And I don't remember him getting any images burned in his brain.
Well, we don't see it from his point of view though. He might be getting images burned into his brain.
All right. I don't know. It's dumb.
My biggest thing with this movie is it's very boring. It's so boring. Concept, great. And I think that's why, because I remembered liking it too. And, you know, I've the whole argument with the Cult FM thing was, does it hold up? And I forget why and when I watched it again, but it was within the last like two and a half years, three maybe. And I was like, damn, man, this thing is boring as shit. And I remembered it so passionately, you know, because like it was a 2002, like that was kind of like in my horror movie watching prime, you know, like I was watching a lot of older stuff and current stuff was coming out. So I was getting into that. And like this was just like a movie of my time. It was a big deal. Like everybody was talking about 7 days and all that shit. It was like a meme before memes. And I was excited to watch it again. And God damn, man, did that. The concept is still great and all. But once you see it, you seen it. And that's kind of all it's got for me, because there's a lot of research and just shots of people writing things down and, you know, like just shit that like it seemed like, OK, maybe it's like a 3 to 5 second little shot. Sure. But when you keep doing things like that, before you know it, you have like, you know, 5 to 10 minutes of nonsense that you could just get the fuck up out of there and it would make it better.
I kind of want to I don't agree with that. And it was something that I looked for because it was a complaint that you mentioned when we covered Ringu. So it's something that I really looked for. I'm very tolerant, I think, of like research scenes in movies. Usually it is one montage, and The Ring breaks it up, I think, into enough different sections that, first of all, they didn't bother me as much because it wasn't just like one montage. It was like we're learning information as they go. But I also think it was very cleverly edited. The one that I wrote down, the one I actually made a note of that I thought was edited well, is actually before she starts like the writing stuff down, which is, it's kind of a theme. You know, she's taking notes. She's getting down information. But there's a cutaway that I thought was really good where it could have just been extra time. And this was something I think Ringu was maybe worse about in some respects than The Ring, where she gets a lead and then she has to call and we watch her make the phone call and then we watch her go out and like do her job investigating stuff. This one, I think it's just cut together very well. Like I didn't feel like it was gratuitous. I think researching on your own when you're sleep deprived is already kind of a very spooky feeling that The Ring encapsulates really well. And then there's this one cutaway where she gets, there's like the, I don't remember what it's called, the photo development place. She like sees the sticker and then we immediately see her walking like away from the photo place. And it's just like, we have these little quick cuts in there where we see context for the information she's about to receive. And then we see where she goes with that information, but we don't necessarily see her like having to pick up photos. And you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I think it was very cleverly done which parts we do and don't see of that research process, because we can follow our train of thought.
There are some quick cuts, but not quick enough. I'll tell you that, because this movie is super boring. It feels like there's a long stretch where nothing is happening. And it's this runtime is almost 2 hours. It's like an hour 55.
Okay, it's like an hour 40 something.
They could have easily cut some time out of there.
I don't think they needed to.
I think you might be wrong about that.
I tried really hard to like pay attention for scenes it's where it's gratuitous.
The runtime, by the way, is listed exactly 1 hour and 55 minutes, Kat. That's long for somebody in a library doing research.
Is there any chance that there are two versions of this? Because I swear my runtime was like 146.
If there are, no. I'm pissed off because I watched one that was 10 minutes too goddamn long.
Yeah, I remember that was a point that because I, while watching it, went to look, how long is this fucking movie? And when I seen that, I was like, oh, Christ. And when, I was like 25 minutes in. I was like, holy shit. Yeah. And I think that, like, that, I mean, for me, that was an issue because if you're going to do a little montage and get it out of the way and be done with it, all right, fine. I'll watch it and get it over with. When you're doing something and then you stop to do the whole research thing and then you start doing something else and then you stop and on and off with that, you're going to lose me quick.
See, it just, it didn't, because I feel like we got to see her thought process really well. It all felt really natural to me. I didn't mind any of it. And I'm, now I feel like I'm losing my mind. I swear my version of The Ring was not that long.
No, I said an hour 55 because I had paused it many times to see how much time was left in this goddamn thing. It was definitely an hour 55, the version that I watched at least. All and right. That is way too long, especially when you've got long stretches of just nothing happening.
I will say I'm looking up now to see if there's like a theatrical cut or something that I watched, because I watched it from Pluto TV. If it were 10 minutes more of researching, I could understand being mad, but I thought it was, I don't know. And the ambiance was so spooky. And one thing that I really liked is that even though we have kind of this recurring research theme, is that the ways that the way that the days are split up for her, I feel like each day gets a little bit spookier with its side effects than the day before that. And I liked that. Like, we had good marks of time. We had linear logic. It has all the things I look for in a research-based horror movie.
I guess. It had a creepy-ass kid in this movie, too. What the fuck was that kid's problem?
Listen, that kid is an old man. Did you notice that? Yeah. Like, he is truly an old man. I don't know. Like, they did a de-aging on an old-ass man for that role. That kid acted like an old man throughout and looked like, dressed like, and everything. Like, that was the oldest man, little boy ever.
They got a little kid with that Benjamin Button disease or something.
Dude, he was dressed like an old ass man.
Yeah. That kid was weird as hell. And I think that's part of the thing about this movie that drives me nuts. They're trying real hard, I feel like, to make everything feel uncomfortable in this movie. There's no touchstone of reality in this movie.
See, that's, again, I kind of have to disagree, because and I'm not saying that this is a better change or a worse change. It is just a change. But her ex in this one, like, I felt like she had a really, not a normal relationship with him, certainly not a healthy relationship with him, but like, they felt like they were people that had been in a relationship and had baggage, and like, he was kind of fun and normal in comparison to like everything else that was going on, you know, as opposed to like, he's just another creepy dude in the original.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, I don't know. It felt like, I don't know. The little kid was too much. And
there's an old man.
The fucking green was too much. And I looked up some facts about this before I watched it. So maybe that colored part of the way I was watching this movie too, but like, they lit things in a way so that no one casts any shadows anywhere. Mm-hmm. And they did that on purpose to make to give you an unconscious feeling of unease throughout the entire movie. And it's just like, I don't know if you need to work that hard.
I appreciate that they did, though.
It's really the little kid that tips it over for me, I think, more than anything else.
He's an old ass man, that little boy.
The other stuff wouldn't bother me, but that little kid was just, I was like, this is a little too much. Why can't he just be a normal kid?
He's such a weird kid.
He is a weird kid. Again, this is kind of a point that I have to give to this one, because kids in, I don't know, there's a very immature quality to the, which makes sense because they are kids, but in the Japanese Ring series, they were a lot more grating, and I would almost rather prefer like one very odd, but mostly quiet kid, like, because he didn't distract me that much. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, he distracted the hell out of me. All I could think about was that fucking kid throughout this entire movie. Like, why is he dressed that way? Why does he talk like that? Why is he calling her Rachel?
Why does he look like an old ass man for no reason? The whole movie. And I don't know. I think it was Scary Movie 3. I don't remember which one did the ring thing. I'm going to go check real quick. I don't know if they got the same little boy, but goddamn, man, did it look just like him? And they had that boy. He acted very much like the kid in from this movie and looked very much like him, but was just over the top with the reactions. And it was oddly similar to this kid in this movie. I was like, what the hell?
I don't know. The kid just didn't bother me that much.
I hate that little old ass fucker.
Yeah, he threw me off. Another thing that bothers me about this movie is the reveal of the dead girl at the beginning's face. Like,
yes,
it looks dumb.
No. I will say, though, because that was another thing that I was looking for. That was one thing that I anticipated would age very poorly, because it's become kind of a meme. I see that face a lot on the internet now. And I think it looks very, very dumb when you're scrolling and you see the face and you're like, oh, boy, why did I ever think The Ring was a scary movie? But to The Ring's credit, because it's not a great makeup job, but it's such a fast, it's a much faster cut in The Ring than I had remembered it being. I think because we do have so much access to that particular image, that when I saw how briefly we get to see it, it's like, I think that's an acceptable amount of time for how good the makeup is, that because it leaves you an impression that her face is like really twisted in horror, but then it cuts away before we have to really see how stupid it looks. And I think the movie does that fine.
That is a smart decision on the movie's part. You're right about that.
Could have been even a little bit shorter. And I know that for a fact, because when we see Noah's face, that cut is shorter and he also looks stupid.
Yeah.
But it was more effective because we don't see that image everywhere and because the cut is so quick.
Yeah, it just looks so dumb.
But like, if you're not pausing it and looking at it or like sending it to people on the internet or whatever, it doesn't bother me that much because it's fast. It's there and it's gone.
See, I agree with that. The decision to do that, like if it doesn't look great, you know, don't show it long, get in and out. I agree with that. But this is a movie that had almost a $50 million budget.
But also we're looking at it today as an effect that has aged very poorly. Like this scared people when it came out.
Yeah,
scared Grandma
that
Bones.
Face was
scare
scary.
Me.
This movie, the thing about it, I think, is what really bothers me about the face looking so stupid is that this is a PG-13 horror movie. We're not going to get a lot. So what you are going to show me should look good. Like, give me my bang for my buck. You know what I mean? And instead, I get quick flashes of a stupid looking face.
See, I think, I could be wrong, but I think that if the face had looked like, if it had been a very good effect, it wouldn't have been as effective in a quick cutaway. You know, like good effects are things that you kind of have to look at for a while. And they made the choice to go very exaggerated so that it would play well in a quick cut. I don't think it's aged well in the era of the internet, but I think it was an effective decision for the time. Like, I understand why they did it the way that they did.
See, and again, the budget was a problem for me too. You have so much money, you know, it could look better. But Samara looked phenomenal in this movie. Phenomenal. Yes. Her coming out of the TV looked phenomenal. She looked scary. It was creepy. It was all of the above. So like when you show me something that, and I don't know if a lot of the, you know, most of the budget went to that. They did do a lot of other things with the tapes and everything. Like, I understand. Damn it, man. When you show me something that fucking good, like you could put that, take that exact scene of her coming out of that TV for the first time in this film and put it in a 2024 Ring remake, the exact thing, I wouldn't notice any, you know, like it's that good. Come on, man.
It certainly looked a hell of a lot better than that stupid scene they had in Ringu when she came out of the TV. Remember that? Holy God.
$50 million budget compared to that movie's budget, though. To be, just to defend
like,
Ringu.
Look like trash. Look like... Yeah, that effect was good. Samara does look good in this movie. Like, she's creepy.
Yeah.
And I don't know, they do a lot of things effectively as far as like effects go, except for that face.
I'm telling you, I think that face was really hindered by people looking at that face. Because again, his face looks just as dumb. Like if you paused on Noah's dead face, it would look exactly as stupid. But because we don't like do that, because we don't look at that face all the time, no one gives a fuck. Right. I think it works in the quick cut,
but having two stupid faces as opposed to just one stupid face doesn't make it a better movie. In fact, it might make it worse. I don't know, but
no, I think it I think it proves my point though, that it's effective in a quick cut. Like, just if I don't know,
see, I think we're looking at this in two separate ways. You're looking at it as they're saying we're going to cut quick to this, so make it look one way. I'm thinking they made it came out looking one way. So they went, oh shit, we need to cut away from that quick.
I don't think they did that. I think like, even when you look at the color palettes of the face, they're designed to be very exaggerated. And I think that was so we would get the impression in a quick cut. Like,
don't talk to me about color palettes. The only color I saw was green.
I was waiting.
Somebody fucking put a Sprite bottle in front of the camera lens and forgot to move it. This entire fucking movie. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, well, to defend it a little bit, like that was kind of a 2000s thing.
This is the most 2000s color graded movie I've ever seen in my entire life.
So annoying.
That was actually the first note that I took was like, this sure did come out in 2002.
Right.
My first note literally says everything is so green.
Rob and I had the same note.
Yeah. And we've talked about this before. I hate that. I hate that, that 2000s overly saturated color grading bullshit is so annoying. And this movie is the worst at it. There were a couple of things I liked about the movie. Speaking of effects, I like the like swirled looking faces in the photos and stuff.
Yeah.
I think that's a cool thing. I liked it on the security camera when he's in that little, you know, store buying his cigarettes and the girl's lecturing him about smoking or whatever. And, you know, it's happening to his face up there. Watching it when she's going through the photos that she picked up at the photo lab, it kind of reminded me of The Omen.
A little bit. Yeah, I got that.
And I never thought of that before. The Omen doesn't have that exact same thing, but it's like, you know, when they are photographed, there are lines on the photos that show the way people are going to die, which I think is a cool thing, too. So I did like that. That was one good thing I liked. The only other good thing that I can point out about this movie that I liked were I think the performances are mostly really good. Brian Cox steals this movie because he's Brian Cox and he's always amazing. But I think everybody else is pretty good in this movie, too. I don't have any complaints about that.
I also like the performances in this.
Yeah.
And we talk about this anytime we do an American remake or any foreign film. It's easier to judge how good a performance is or is not in your native language. So I'm not really, this is the one point, I'm not really giving it to the American version over the original. It's just a good point that it has. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if they're better or worse. I just know that I liked them. They were solid.
Yeah, I'm going to guess at least Brian Cox is better.
That seems like a safe bet.
He's so good. Like watching him in this movie, like I perked up when he showed up on screen because I kind of forgot he was in it because it's such a small role. And I was like, oh, shit, that's Brian Cox. This is going to be amazing. And it was amazing, but then he was gone. But, you know, I get excited anytime I get a chance to see Logan Roy.
I tend to agree. But, yeah, I mean, maybe we could talk a little bit more about Samara in this. If there was one thing like I could point to, because that's what you wait for, right? Especially on the rewatch or maybe even a first watch, like if you're watching it nowadays, you know, because you know about Samara coming out of the TV. And it took a while to get there, man. I don't remember it taking that long to get to her. I don't know if it's just me, but once you do though, like, so that was my issue with it, that she wasn't in it as much, which I guess could be a good thing, but you might maybe could have utilized her a little more throughout here and there, like even glimpses of her, because she looks so good. Before we even get to that, honestly, the thing that this movie, and I always thought it, even after watching it for the first time, what this movie could have benefited from and made it a lot better, if you took out some of the things that were kind of just filler and maybe replace it with, and I don't know if it would work, so you guys tell me, replace it with shots of Samara in the well. No, now, yes.
I think that the movie actually gets that right.
You think that long?
Not that long. The movie's too goddamn long. That's the problem. It's not that they held Samara until that part of the movie. That's fine. Horror movies do that all the time. That's smart. You hold off your creature, your monster, whatever, until, you know, till the end of the movie.
Yeah, but you see something of them throughout, you know? No.
Yeah, but we gotta watch Naomi Watts do research for 2.5 hours.
That's the
problem. So she can get to Samara. Wow. That's where the problem relies. It's too much bullshit boringness before we actually get to that point in the movie. If this movie was 90 minutes, it's a nice tight movie and probably really good.
Agreed. Agreed. The biggest crime of this movie was the length. Agreed.
Maybe I will say, I think this would have been better at 90 minutes. I'm really invested in the story of Samara. Like, they had me. I have enough nostalgia for this one that I didn't mind rewatching the research stuff again. And I really cared about the characters. It made me feel like I was getting lore and stuff that was important to the movie. It would have been scarier and I think had wider appeal at 90 minutes. I'm not going to argue that. Even though it didn't bother me. And to the Samara point, I just kind of want to throw this out there. This is why it didn't, like, this is why the pacing didn't bother me. It's why the rewatch didn't bother me. It's why I think the American one specifically holds up really well. We're all watching. Mikey, you said that you were watching to see Samara come out of the TV. That wasn't the scariest part of The Ring for me on a first viewing. And I don't think it was the scariest part this time either. I love the moment in this one. And it's when the little old man kid says it. So I'm sure you guys are going to be irritated. But I think he has one of my favorite lines in the movie, because we watch Rachel go through this whole thing, all the studying, like all of the research, all of the digging up. And when she finds out, when she gets the idea of what happened to this child, she goes after the father. She accuses him. She's like, "You killed her, didn't you?" She gets like so worked up. We see her cradling Samara's body in the well. We see the bones laid to rest. We see her survive, and we think that she's had this connection to this little girl. And then the next day, her son is like, "You helped her?" And he's just so horrified that you're like, "Oh shit." Like, that's the movie that's like the movie moment that really gets me in The Ring. I think we did that one really well, because it's like we see so many ghost stories where the trick is kind of to help the ghost find peace. Mm-hmm. And Naomi Watts is just missing all of these like clues that Samara is just this evil, uncontrollable entity. And that moment where she realizes, "I just unleashed something," instead of like, "I laid the little ghost girl to rest." It's such like a nice, clean subversion of that empathy that we had felt. And I think that's why the research segments, like, they don't bother me, because there's this building empathy for Samara. And that was so effective for me, building that up, that when it gets turned around on me, it's like, whoa.
Jesus Christ. Kat likes reading so much, she isn't even bothered by watching a 2-hour movie about somebody reading.
I'm literally not.
As far as Samara coming out of the TV goes, I don't think it's the scariest. I don't think there's anything scary in this movie, but
it's creepy to me, man.
It's not, I don't find it creepy. It's certainly the coolest thing that happens in this fucking movie. And I didn't remember it happening so late in the movie either, Mikey, but I wasn't mad at it being that where it was. Like, I understand the impulse to hold back, you know what I mean? And I kind of appreciate that. I think if you're showing Samara too much throughout this movie, you're going to kind of ruin the movie.
Maybe.
You're going to make a bad movie even worse.
But that thought process isn't too far. I want something to hold me, you know what I mean? Like, given what we got. That's my thought process going in. Yeah.
Maybe it's just impossible to make a good movie based on this story.
No, that's not true.
Somebody needs to adapt the book more faithfully. Because the book was scary as fuck.
I mean, maybe. I don't know. Shocker, I didn't read the Japanese book.
I'm going to throw this out there as well. Japanese cinema has a proclivity for thinking that little girls are spooky, in a way that I think kind of ruined the plot of this book. Sadako is much older and more matured and like actively malevolent, which I think kind of makes her, it puts her at more of a villain status, which is interesting. And there are just like more morally gray characters in this one. I feel like, which is the one thing I think the Japanese movie does maybe better than the American movie as well. I feel like we're really rooting for people in this a lot more. Whereas in the Japanese version, I feel like there are a lot of kind of like shady strangers that show up to help that we're kind of like, I don't know who this person is, but like now our lives kind of depend on this, like getting solved by this stranger, which is kind of an unsettling feeling, you know, whereas in this one, there is kind of the comfort of, we know who Naomi Watts's character is, and we know that she's going to have help from the grieving aunt and the ex, and, you know, like, I don't know.
I don't know how much help she's going to get from that one guy who was just sitting there at the party, stunned out of his mind. I assume
notice
that
I didn't mention him.
Yeah. yeah. I mean, I'm not sure. I do think this film's biggest failing is just how fucking boring it is, because
I was never bored.
I think the concept is good. I think that the performances are good. I think as written, the characters are good, except for the old man boy. But it just doesn't work. Like when you watch it, it's dull. Like I was so like picking up my phone constantly throughout this movie because I didn't have to worry if I was going to miss anything because nothing was happening and nothing was going to happen.
There's a lot happening though.
I don't think there's anything happening.
We were learning a lot about Samara. I think that's the thing is the story, the whole majority of this movie is just trying to get you to empathize with Samara the way that Rachel does. And I did. And it was great.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. Could have been more interesting. That's all I know.
Oh, I also, while we're talking about empathizing for Samara, I really like the ambiguity of this line. And this was a line that I also was like, what does this mean as a kid? I thought about this line of the ring a lot the first time I watched this, because there's a line where we're watching in the like flashbacks in the dream sequences, we're seeing Samara talk to the doctor, and he's like, he's like, you don't want to hurt people anymore, do you, Samara? And she's like, I do, but I do though, and I'm sorry. And it's like, when you're watching through the first time, you're like, you think that she's like, and I do hurt people, I'm sorry. And then like after the end, you're like, oh, she does want to hurt people, she's sorry. And it's like, it's great. I love it.
That's a good line. But speaking of that, is she also part Freddy Krueger?
No.
Because why does like Naomi Watts, Rachel, has like the bruise on her arm, and then later her son has the bruise on her arm from like having visions of Samara or something, and Samara grabs their arms, I assume?
Yes.
Like, that's another problem that I have is I don't fully grasp all the rules, I think. And I'm big on that. Like, I want to know the rules of your movie. And I feel like I don't quite grasp all of them in this movie.
So this, well, that is one that I will say, I think the handprint specifically was kind of put in there so that there was a visual marker when Rachel sees that her son has also been grabbed.
Mm-hmm.
I think is the whole reason why they added that, because really Samara's only power should be that she can burn images with her mind. I guess she could burn her handprint onto somebody, but it's weird that it acts like a touch in the dream and not, I guess just because she's broadcasting like the image of herself touching someone and then like the hand, I don't know. That one's shaky.
Yeah, it's some Freddy Krueger bullshit. Like you gotta give me the rules and then stick with them, you know? But that aside, at least something was happening at that moment in the movie. We weren't at the library or whatever, you know?
All right. Do you guys have anything we didn't touch on that you would like to touch on for this before we move into like reviews and trivia and whatnot?
The only other thing I wanted to bring up, again, circling back to Brian Cox and how amazing he is in this movie. What was with his like, he has this plan to electrocute himself in the bathtub.
Yeah.
And he's got like the most convoluted setup going on in that bathroom to get this job done. It's like, dude, all you need is a fucking toaster.
I think that's the thing is that he like doesn't want to botch it, right?
I mean, I guess, but he had like fucking car batteries and shit in there.
You're afraid of the ghost of your adopted daughter who can send images into dreams, right? Like the last thing that you're going to want to do is end up in a coma. He's like, I'm going all the way on this fucker. Like,
I mean, I guess it was almost humorous.
It was kind of funny because he's like holding the switch as he gets into the tub. And then he had like the horse bit and everything.
Yeah. But again, Brian Cox, so great. That's it though. That's all. I'm pretty much done with this movie.
My summarizing thoughts for this movie. My last note before I get into summarizing thoughts. I really like the, I think I talked about this in the Ringu episode as well, but I really love the addition of, in this one, we get to see Rachel figure out why it's 7 days. And that's a line that's also very satisfying to me, where he asks like how long a person could survive in a well, and she puts it together, and I was like, yes, good. Because it expands on the mythology. I like the mythology.
Yeah,
you know,
that's a good that's actually really good. I agree with that.
And that's my final like point American version. And summarizing thoughts, it's a slower burn, but I don't mind it. I was there for the ride. I was there feeling bad for Samara. I was there getting mildly spooked by Samara. I think it's good. I like it.
It's less a burn than a smolder.
All right. So we got reviews for this bad boy.
Yeah. Do you have closing thoughts, Mikey? Did you have a close? Are you?
I'm going to repeat myself, man. It's a great concept. It's a phenomenal concept. For its time, I don't even know if it's for its time. It's just the concept is so strong that when this movie came out, it captured the world.
Yeah.
Like, everyone was talking about this movie. And I didn't look up box office and everything because Rob usually touches on that with the trivia. But it went crazy. Like, the world stopped for this movie. Every now and then we get a movie that does that. We were talking about Blair Witch on the Patreon show. That was a movie where that happened. Everybody was stopped and was talking about the Blair Witch, and everybody had to see it. That was The Ring 2002.
Yeah. Spoiler alert for the box office. It's fucking nuts.
It's bonkers. Dude, this movie was huge, huge. And that's kind of why I remembered it so fondly. And I, you know, whenever someone did talk badly about it or even bring it up, I was like, man, I love that movie. Like, what do you mean? Like, yeah, that was a great movie. Because the concept's so good, and you remember Samara, and she looks so great, and you think about a little girl in the well, and she's haunting people and coming out of fuck TVs. That shit's crazy. And the 7 days thing is so creepy, too. Imagine getting that phone call and everything. But then you sit and watch it, and man, it's so slow. And I don't remember that. That's all the whole movie in a nutshell to me. And I truly believe, and that's why I like Ringu more. And obviously the effects and everything that we know and love from this movie, you know, at least Samara, you know, like, yeah, everyone remembers her and it looks so great. You know, that's not comparable. And then Ringu didn't look phenomenal effects wise, but it was a lot shorter. And I think this movie would have benefited greatly from being shorter.
Would it have helped this movie if at some point we had seen some other people who were killed by Samara in some way?
Yeah. Something, dude.
Something was happening.
Something. Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, I keep going back to that, but I felt like for an hour and 35 minutes of the hour and 55 minute runtime, nothing is really happening.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. And that's why I was saying, because I'm on record for a long time of saying, you know, you don't want to overshow a villain, and, you know, all that stuff is very important to keeping that mystique of them and, you know, the shock when you do see them and make it effective and all that. So, you know, it's a little contradictive of what I said earlier with Samara, but that's just me off the top of my head. Give me something, dude. You know, like, give me something, please.
Yeah, you got to give me something. And this, yeah, right. There's just nothing in here. And I don't know how you do that either, like, and make it work. I don't know, but I'm just trying to think of something that could have made this more interesting.
That's why I think, like, seeing a silhouette or, so, you know, because obviously you can't full on show Samara and her face and everything. Something in the way. I don't know, man, but I know I want something. I don't know what it is, but I want something more than, you know, a lot of the shit we got with researching and all that stuff.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, we will see if the audiences agree with you. This has
audiences.
The tomato meter. Over with our friends at Rotten Tomatoes. The critic score is a 71%.
God damn. For Christ's sake. A lot of those were probably when the damn movie came out, I guarantee it.
And the audience score is at 48%.
That seems closer to the truth.
Well, not according to IMDb, which has this at a 7.1 out of 10.
Oh, yeah, Lord.
Those people don't know anything. Anybody can create an IMDb account and rate stuff.
Still waiting to hear back from our Carrie 2 friend, by the way.
Oh.
All right.
Also from Nicole, too. I think she might have stopped listening to us, guys. I don't know.
We'll see. We have a couple of reviews that I pulled. These are all pretty short. I'm not even going to lie. I just pulled the ones that I thought were funniest today. There's no rhyme or reason for this. We have a 10 out of 10 for The Ring. One of the best horror movies. ... this is the horror movie with different kinds of idea to horrify you. Dot, dot, dot.
What?
Through videotape. Dot, dot, dot. And the video that was the tape itself was very creepy and scary. Love this one. Voted this one helpful.
That is...
God damn it, Kat.
I mean, that is surefire analysis right there.
Yeah.
Entertaining, sure. Helpful. Come on.
All right. And then we have 7 out of 10, not a horror movie about weddings.
All right.
Oh my God.
I mean, they're not wrong. They're not wrong.
That one's helpful. That's helpful, I guess, technically.
One gripping horror movie that forces you to keep watching. Not quite as good as the Japanese original, but it comes pretty close. Naomi Watts is spectacular in the role, delivering a sense of urgency that is required to make the movie work. The film has a great mythology that hooks you up, that hooks you in deep. A fantastic film. Smiley face.
Oh, the smiley face. That's nice.
I wanted to read that one because it doesn't elaborate. I assume the wedding thing is just a pun about the ring.
I would assume, yeah.
I feel like it's very obvious from the box off from the box art, but that's not the kind of ring that this is. And then we have another 7 out of 10 from Rob the Watcher. So I think that this is potentially one of the Robs we know.
Oh no. Is this other Rob? Does other Rob love this movie?
We don't know. 7 out of 10.
Rob the Watcher is when Rob's peeping out his window at people when they're in the shower or something, being a weirdo.
Oh, no. I thought you meant like when I was looking, because I do look out the window a lot. Like, what the fuck the neighbor's doing out there? What are you doing?
This one is called Ring Ring. An absolutely well done for a horror film. For a scary movie to be so well thought out and enter the thriller mystery genre successfully while still maintaining a scary factor is hard to do. The acting was decent. This is an automatic staple for the horror genre.
All right. He's right. I mean, that is hard to do. This movie didn't do it.
Well,
it is a staple, though. You can't take that from it.
It is. And the performances are, I would say, better than decent. I
would say even better than decent. Yeah. And then our last one, this wins the best title award, but the review I thought is also kind of funny. This is 1 out of 10. Overrated piece of cheese.
What kind of cheese?
Well, subscribe to our Patreon. Subscribe to the Patreon. Lately, I've seen nothing but references to the ring everywhere I go. People talk about it when they speak and about their feelings and dreams, as if this movie was something thought-provoking and not just a crap of cheese.
Does it have a date on there, Kat? When are people talking about this movie so often?
This came out in 2003, so people were really talking about it,
about their hopes and dreams of the ring, or whatever the fuck he said.
Their feelings and dreams when it's just a crap of cheese.
What does that mean?
Honestly, I've never seen something so cheesy in my life. The original wasn't the most fantastic thing in the box, but at least it wasn't too pathetic, overacted, and trying to be more highbrow than the story is. All right.
I'm going to start using that, just a crap of cheese.
I'm also going to start using not the most fantastic thing in the box.
That is good.
All right.
Is that it?
That's our last one from Anonymous. Great name also.
That's not a bad name.
Cheese too. That's funny. Yep. Cheese tie-in.
Yeah.
All right. Facts about this movie. The budget estimated $48 million. Worldwide gross $249.3 million. So they made a fuck ton of money.
Ooh.
Yeah.
The massive success of The Sixth Sense was what gave Paramount Pictures the confidence to greenlight a remake of Ringu due to the rise in popularity of supernatural mysteries and thrillers.
Oh, I will say, when you think about it through the Sixth Sense lens, the weird little kid makes a lot more sense.
It does kind of, yeah, I guess so.
They're like, what made the Sixth Sense work was probably this kid being a little bit weird, so let's just triple down on that.
Right, we'll triple down on that and not the so much making a really good movie part. Yeah. Until It Chapter One, this movie was the highest grossing horror remake in history.
Oh, wow.
That's crazy.
I might screw this up. The Mosco Island Lighthouse. Is that what it's called in the movie?
Yeah.
Okay. It's a fictional name for a real lighthouse located in Newport, Oregon. Built in 1873, the real lighthouse is named, something I sure as fuck can't pronounce, and is currently an active aid to navigation. It's reputed to be haunted by the ghost of a past keeper.
Oh, so, that's haunted. Fun. Past keeper.
Yeah. Lighthouses, by the way, are like maybe one of the coolest things in the world.
100%.
Yeah, lighthouses are awesome. The role of Rachel was first offered to Jennifer Connelly. She turned it down, so then it was offered to Jennifer Love Hewitt, and then it went to Gwyneth Paltrow, and then to Kate Beckinsale, and then finally to Naomi Watts.
Wow.
I'd be so mad.
That's a lot of shade to Naomi Watts, I feel like.
It is. It is, especially because she does a great job in this movie.
I can't imagine this being a Gwyneth Paltrow movie.
No, that was like a joke. They were like, let's send it to Gwyneth Paltrow. It would be hilarious. Brian Cox was the only actor they considered to play Richard Morgan, and he turned down a role in Ghost Ship to film this movie.
Good call, buddy.
I guess, but I also feel like, why was Brian Cox getting so many shitty roles at the time? Producer Neil Edelstein offered the remake to David Lynch to direct, but he turned it down.
Oh, God.
What does this look like as a David Lynch movie?
Can you imagine how much longer this would have been as a David Lynch movie?
And fucking weirder.
I will say more stuff would have happened.
Yes, stuff would
have happened. I probably would not have agreed with the things that happened, but
I wouldn't have understood them. I would have had no clue. While the film takes place in Seattle, earlier drafts of the screenplay had it taking place in Massachusetts and Maine.
So, that also makes sense.
Yeah. And then finally, one of producer Walter F. Park's executives called him and told him to immediately go see a Japanese horror film called Ringu. Parks took his producing partner, Laurie McDonald, to a 4 p.m. showing. By the time the film ended, they were already on the phone optioning the remake rights. So they knew they had a hit on their hands, that's for sure. Right. And that is our fun facts about The Ring.
Okay, fair enough. All right, it's time.
I will say now, I feel like I should go last on the Portnoy. Yes. I am going to be the wild card.
Yeah, you are definitely going to be the outlier on this one, I think.
I feel like you're not prepared and I might get in trouble.
You're definitely going to get in trouble. All right, Rob, do you have one nailed down?
Yep.
Oh, boy. You want to go first?
Sure.
Okay.
This movie is a remake of a movie that is completely forgettable. When we did the Ringu episode, I kept jokingly referring to it as Research the Movie. This one is just Research the Remake. It is equally as boring. It might have a couple of more memorable moments in the film. The performances are good. But ultimately, it's just a snooze fest at 2 hours long. And it's a struggle to get through. I give it a 2.6.
You gave Ringu a 1.9.
All right.
For the record.
Okay. I mean, I'm all right with that because I don't remember a single thing about Ringu, and we didn't watch it that long ago. I should remember something about it.
Okay. All right. I agree with everything that Rob said. This, at the end of the day, I've been on, when we did the Ringu episode, I gave that a 4.7. Man, as much, I've said also that I like Ringu more than The Ring. And that is true. But the scores are going to be very close because it is really hard to ignore how incredible Samara looked in this thing. What did we do recently? I think it was actually, I don't know. There was a movie that Stop Motion. That we did recently where the effects were just so phenomenal. It carried that score pretty higher than it would have been for me. And that's kind of what's going to happen here. I'm going to give The Ring Remake 2002. It's hard for me to land here. I'm going to give it a 4.6. That's the best I can do.
That's too good.
That might be. But dude, it looked great. Samara looked great. And honestly, too, like it was shot great. Like, yeah, it was green and all, but you know, the cinematography was phenomenal. Like, it, you know, it was shot very well.
It is worth saying that Gore Verbinski made this movie, and he knows how to make a movie.
Right.
I mean, he makes good films.
So when you put that up against something like Ringu that didn't have a very big budget and, you know, foreign film, all that stuff, you can't ignore those things, especially when I'm comparing the score that I gave to each. But goddamn, man, this thing was so dry in so many different places. And it is really hard for me to ignore that as much as I'm trying to do something nice for it. That might be a little high, but, and also keep in mind too, like we said, during the reviews, this was a huge movie for the genre. And it was at a time where the genre didn't have the greatest of films coming out. And at least this got people out to the theater in droves to see a horror movie. And, you know, that does go, it means something, you know? So 4.6, and a lot of that is the effects of Samara.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel bad giving it too much lower of a score because, you know, like I said, it looked great. It truly did. It looked great. The performances were very good. It's just I have a problem with what the actors and actresses were told to do for this movie. So 4.6. Pat, what are you going to do?
I'm going to get in trouble. I love this movie. I love Japanese horror. This was kind of the movie that set that off for me. I have a lot of nostalgia for it, but also it had such a huge cultural impact for horror and for like what we were doing in America at the time. It perfectly encapsulates the time it was written in, and the location, which I think is crazy because it's an adaptation from something else. I like this one. I think it holds up. I think it's easy to complain about some of the, the face, I guess, is the main thing. It's easy to complain about some of the stuff that hasn't aged well, but I think it was great for its time. And I think if you watch just what is being presented to you, it holds up really well. I found it to be very uneasy. So I wasn't bored ever. I love the empathy for Samara. I love the expansion of the lore. I'm fully in on the Ring. I think it's aged really well. I was pleasantly surprised on the rewatch. I'm giving it an 8.2.
Good Lord, Kat.
Kat Valore.
Yeah.
Kat Edith Valore.
Yes.
Good Lord, man.
Uh-huh.
I don't even know if Kat should be allowed to watch movies anymore. You're doing it wrong.
I love the Ring so much, guys.
Jeez.
I was so scared that this one was not going to hold up, and I was going to feel so guilty being mean to it because it does have, I think, such a great place in horror history.
I will acknowledge that this was a very successful horror movie. It did kick off the whole J horror movement in the States and all of that. I still do not feel 1 ounce of guilt about talking shittily about this terrible movie.
Shittily.
You should. It's great.
Well, there it is, The Ring. I feel like the power move is now complete.
What's the final score on The Ring?
Oh, final score. Hang on, where'd that tab go? 5.1. You really tanked this sumbitch.
Cat pulled it up.
I mean, yeah. Damn, dude. Even if you gave me the same, if you gave it the same score I did, it'd be a 5.8. Jesus Christ. All right, maybe you didn't take it that much, I guess.
Holy I was going to say, you didn't do that much better, Mikey.
I,
you did better.
Almost double.
Just not that much better. Well, I did almost double of you, though. So.
Yeah, that's too far, man. Increments, Kat. Increments. Everything in increments.
No, I liked it. I had a great time.
You sure did.
Before we wrap it up, I'm not here next week, so I'm going to announce my birthday pick now.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Okay, what's your birthday pick?
Yes, I am gone next week. I'm going on a fishing trip. And so I will not be here. And then the next week after that, so in 2 weeks, it will be my birthday pick.
Oh, boy.
And I went through a lot of different things with this. At one point, I was thinking about these movies. It'd be fun for us all to watch. And maybe I could find something we all like. And then I had devised a game in which you guys would pick the movie that we get to watch and everything. And then Mikey went and did this.
Oh, shit.
And so that
Ring
changed.
Ring 2.
Kat, you nailed it. We're doing the Ring 2.
No fucking way. Are you really?
I am 100% doubling down. We're doing the Ring 2.
Yes, Rob.
You gotta watch it too.
I don't have a power rankings, but we need to find some kind of Patreon show where I can give you a commit to the bit award because you have done the thing that the patrons never think to do. I'm so fucking proud of you.
Oh, well, wait, hold on. Chris has thought to do it. All right. Chris has tried to do it.
Yeah, let me clarify. The thing that the patrons have never successfully followed through on as a hive mind, the individual patrons have had plenty of ideas.
I thought about it, and I came up with this game where I was going to make Mikey pick a number between 1 and 3, and it was going to be 3 movies Mikey didn't like. And I was like, And I was like, that's too complicated. It has to be The Ring 2. It's the only move.
God damn it.
That's such a fucking power move. And I will go on record now as saying I fucking hate The Ring 2. This is so bad for me. It's just so funny.
Nobody likes The Ring 2. It's fucking terrible.
The only one who wins here is Chris.
Hell of a deal.
That's the only person in the world that wins here.
I don't know. We all win. This is so funny.
It's funny. I'll give it that. But God damn it, Rob, you have to watch it too. This is the first time birthday picks have been used for you.
I announced my birthday pick now. I'm picking Rings.
I swear to God. Birthday picks have been used for evil before. I'm not going to act like they haven't. I've participated. Sure. We're here now. But it's never been a movie that was like so bad that no one wanted to watch it, unless the 2 times I picked movies I didn't have to watch, which was, you know, I kind of got away with that again, which was, I thought, very clever. You have to watch it too, though.
I'll do it. I don't care. It'll probably make me enjoy it more just knowing you have to watch it.
Son of a bitch. You love to watch the world burn and you're going to jump in the fire with it. Unbelievable. This is the most spiteful thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Wow.
Happy birthday to Mikey. I'm so happy.
God damn it. You're going to announce this on Twitter after my birthday, man.
I had to be done live on the show. I needed that reaction.
God damn it. That might be the single most spiteful thing. Like, you know what? I'm going to make him watch a horrible movie, even though I have to watch said horrible movie. You're going to sit there with a shitty grin the whole time throughout Ring 2. Unbelievable, Rob. Wow. Okay. All right. And you know, hold on. Another quick thing that's fucked up. Let me find it real quick. Allie does her movie night in Discord every week.
Mm-hmm.
So, well.
Well, most weeks. Yeah.
No problems.
Yeah, 9 p.m. sharp.
Yeah. So she does her movie night thing, and she'll sometimes put up trailers. Like, you can put in her Discord, nominate movies, she puts on a trailer, you do a vote. On her stream, she puts up the trailers, and then everybody votes. Also, sometimes she does it in Discord, where, you know, she just puts it up, puts a couple of movies on there that people nominate, and everybody votes on Discord. So she put up a list of movies to vote. One of them, nominated by Chris, was Sadako 3D. And I almost lost my mind. I was like, there's no way this movie can win. I did all this for the show, so I didn't have to watch a Ring movie this week. And I'll be damned if I'm going to sit here and watch a fucking Ring movie. No. So, and it almost won. It did not, for the record.
Yeah.
But damn it, man. Chris is a winner here.
Speaking of Allie's movie night, the thing that did win was Serial Mom, which is a movie that I have avoided for a long time because it looked really stupid. Fucking A-plus movie. If you haven't seen Serial Mom, you gotta watch it. It's so fucking good. It's hilarious.
All right.
I don't know about A-plus. It's good, though. Okay, it's good. That guy was jorking it, bro.
Yeah, it's a good movie. I really, really like that.
All right, Rob, you son of a bitch. Okay, fine. I can't believe you. I truly, what a move. What a fucking move.
That's so good.
Patreon.com/radio. You're starting as low as $3 a month. That's another fucked up thing, too. Chris is still threatening the whole Ring thing. There is a very strong possibility that we're going to have to watch 4 Ring movies. This is going to be the Ring podcast soon. We're going to have to rebrand everything. Jesus.
I love the idea that someone that's like thinking about signing up for the Patreon, or someone that's like starting to get into the show late or whatever is looking back through the backlog, and they like in a few years and they're just looking back at 2024 like, there are a lot of Ring movies here. What's the spike in Ring content?
We should get a sponsorship from whoever the hell owns the Ring rights. Seriously, nobody's talking about these movies the way we are. Tiers starting as low as $3 a month. Patreon.com/Raider. Please support the show. Don't let us do this for nothing. Please, for the Christ, the love of Christ, please. Like, this is ridiculous. Slasher Radio. You can follow us there on Twitter at Slasher Radio. Also TikTok, YouTube, all that stuff. Give us a sub and a follow over there, please. And I think that's really it. I'm at Mikey's Dead. At Cult FM, the Ring episode's coming out sooner or later, I think. I don't know.
So go listen to it over there.
It doesn't matter. So we beat them. I'm so happy. Like, this is the Ring show now. I know.
Yeah.
You're in on it.
And if and when that ever does get done, think about this. We had to do whatever that Ring movie that we did because of Chris on the Patreon. So that's one.
Sadako versus Cat Ghost.
No, that was the more recent Ringu. Oh. We had to do.
Oh,
we had to do
Ringu
because of Chris. I didn't have to watch the Ring again, but I watched it for Cult FM. So we had to talk about it here. We got to talk about Ring 2 now because of Rob. There is potential that we'll have two more Ring movies with the back-to-back Patreon shows that are coming up soon. So that's five. If I have to talk about the Ring on Cult FM again, do you know the fucking twitch I would develop over these damn movies? That'd be six times I'd have to talk about the Ring in a span of like 2-3 months. God damn.
Well, the exciting thing about doing the Ring too is we get to see if that one is nearly as green as the first.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Because I don't remember.
I don't care. Rob, where are they finding you?
I'm on Twitter at RadioRob123. You can listen to the other show that Kat and I do together, the Nick Fucking Woo Cagecast. That is Nick Effin' Woo and your podcast players. And we just put out our episode on National Treasure, Book of Secrets. And by the time this is out, we should have released an episode on Bangkok Dangerous.
50 episodes, guys.
That's right. 50 episodes deep into the Nick Cage cast. So exciting, Kat.
I'm excited about it. And yeah. Nick Cage, he's having a moment. He's doing great things at Dead by Daylight.
He is.
And Long Legs.
Yep, Long Legs is out there. You've now seen it more times than I have.
I have.
Did you guys notice that Damien Maffei threw some Nick Cage slander out there on Twitter?
No,
that does not surprise me. There's a reason he's banned from the show.
Yeah. Yeah, he said, I don't remember, something about the Wicker Man.
The Wicker Man is genius.
Not according to Damien Maffei. He doesn't like Nick Cage.
It was on the short list for my birthday pick.
Oh, shit. All right.
That also would have been a great pick.
Yeah.
Mr. Cat's boyfriend did not appreciate the Wicker Man the way that I had hoped that he would.
Did you?
Though.
Did he not see Nick Cage punch old ladies in the face?
I will say he really liked the final act of the Wicker Man. Yeah. Like, he came around on it, but the dead-eyed expression on his face for the rest of the Wicker Man, I thought it was gonna be another Funny Games fiasco at first.
All right, Kat, what about you?
You can find me on Twitter at @cat_velour, V-O-L-E-U-R. You can check out my website, catvelour.com, with some books edited by good friend of the show, Potato Thief, Tasha.
Hmm. Tasha, step your text message game up, man. You gotta start acting right. Enough is enough. All right, I made it through this one. I can't believe it. I am very drunk.
Mikey.
Yeah. Good night from Slasher Radio. Holy shit.
All the best with Slasher Radio Podcast.